Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Wednesday, June 17th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news as starting pitcher Max Scherzer was placed on the 15-day IL with back spasms. Scherzer made just one start after missing 1.5 months with forearm tendonitis and ankle inflammation, but he'll head right back to the injured list. It was promising, though, that when he did return, he recorded his 3,500th strikeout, so at least he was able to make some to make a record to become one of the 11th pitcher in history with 3,500 strikeouts, to make some history is what I wanted to say. And at least he was able to do that before heading to the IL, and hopefully he comes back at some point this season. But it's been a struggle thus far for Scherzer to stay healthy at his advanced age. Starting pitcher Chad Dallas was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move. He was expected to pitch in bulk relief in Boston, but Toronto turned to Simeon Woods Richardson instead, and we could see Dallas make a traditional start this weekend or just provide length out of the Blue Jays bullpen. Next, second baseman Gleyber Torres was placed on the 10-day IL with an oblique strain. He returned for just 2 weeks after missing nearly a month with the same injury. I'd expect a similar, if not a longer, timeline for Torres to ensure that the injury doesn't reappear, but really tough season for Torres thus far with these oblique injuries. Starting pitcher Casey Mize was activated from the 15-day IL in a corresponding move. He had been out for a couple of weeks with an adductor strain, and he started and tossed 4 2/3 innings, allowing 6 hits and 3 earned runs, walking 1 while fanning 3, inducing 8 whiffs, 27% CSW across 86 pitches. And he was inefficient because of a lack of sinker and splitter command, but it's great to see Mize's slider feel still be intact. Now it's the Yankees twice up next, and maybe we want to avoid those and pick him up afterwards, considering we didn't see him perform super well here. However, I think he's somebody that's worth rostering in the majority of leagues. And lastly, outfielder Chase DeLauder was placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured rib. I'd expect DeLauder to miss more than the minimum time, but considering it's a small fracture, his return timeline might be more like 2 to 4 weeks instead of the typical 4 to 6 weeks. So DeLauder on the IL with a fractured rib. In a corresponding move, outfielder Khalil Watson was recalled from the minors. He's the Guardians' number 12 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, and he was the 16th overall pick in 2021, but has always struggled with strikeouts. He batted .255 with 12 homers and 15 steals with a 126 WRC plus as a 23-year-old at AAA. But Watson's going to be on the bench most of the time, as Petey Halpin will see the biggest increase to his playing time on the strong side of a center field platoon, taking over for Chase DeLauder. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Carson Wisenhunt was recalled for the minors as the 27th man while the Giants had a quasi-doubleheader. He started in Atlanta, tossing 5 innings, allowing 6 hits and 2 earned runs, walking 2 while striking out 2. He induced 7 whiffs with 24% CSW across 85 pitches. And there's potential in Wisenhunt's four-seam fastball changeup slider combination, but he'll need a permanent rotation spot first to become fantasy relevant. Next, second baseman Vaughn Grissom was activated from the 10-day IL after missing the minimum time with an oblique strain. Grissom has seen time at first base, second base, and third base this year and should continue to get playing time all over the Angels infield. He started at first base versus a lefty in his return, but Grissom is most likely to see the majority of his playing time versus righties at the hot corner. First baseman Trey Mancini was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And lastly, starting pitcher Aaron Civale was activated from the 15-day IL after missing a few weeks with shoulder tendonitis. He started versus the Pirates, tossing 3 innings, allowing 9 hits and 6 earned runs, walking 2 while striking out 2. He induced 14 whiffs with 35% CSW across 71 pitches. And after pitching to a 2.70 ERA through his first 9 starts, Civale has allowed 5 or more runs in each of his last 3 starts, inflating his ERA more than 2 runs to 4.91. Reliever Luis Morales was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Andrew Painter will be optioned to the minors today after allowing 6 runs in 2 innings yesterday. He has a 7.06 ERA this season, and Painter's rotational replacement is unclear. Next third baseman, Michael Garcia, has been dealing with hand soreness that only bothers him when he hits foul balls. When he hits the ball clean, it does not hurt him, but the hand soreness explains Garcia's absence yesterday, as well as his downturn in offensive production this season. And lastly, outfielder Ronald Acuna Jr. is apparently a long way from returning from his hamstring strain, because the strain he suffered is in the same spot as the one he suffered earlier this season. And the Braves will be more cautious than they were the first time, when Acuna missed nearly 3 weeks with the previous strain. So we could see Acuna out for more than a month, which is a tough blow to fantasy managers and the Braves alike. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Wednesday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games thanks to a resumed game between the Braves and Giants. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with shortstop Colson Montgomery, who did all he could, but the White Sox lost in the Bronx. He went 2-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 4 runs batted in. He's up to 19 homers now. First one went 384 feet at 100 miles per hour, and the second one 412 feet at 105 miles per hour. Montgomery's 19 homers are the most by a non-first base infielder. So among every batter that's not a DH, an outfielder, or a first baseman, Colson Montgomery is leading them in home runs. So he leads third baseman, shortstops, and second baseman with those 19 homers. He's carried over the same power from last year, and Montgomery just will always have a low batting average if he's striking out 30% of the time, but we'll take the power production nonetheless. Next, outfielder Kyle Stowers helped the Marlins to win in Philadelphia, going 4-for-5 with 2 runs, a double, 2 home runs, and 5 runs batted in. He's up to 7 homers on the season now. First one went 396 feet at 111 miles per hour, and the second one 436 feet at 108 miles per hour. Stowers missed the first 3 weeks with an injury, but he's been unable to recapture last year's breakout form in 2 months since returning. Strikeouts are still a concerning issue, and his Statcast metrics are nowhere near as impressive as they were last year when he barreled 19% of his batted balls. It's been just 9% in the barrel rate department this year, but I think it has less to do with Stowers' ability to impact the ball and more to do with an influx of ground balls. Hopefully this game gets him back on track, but Stowers won't return to last year's peak without cutting back on the whiffs. And lastly, we have outfielder Sterling Thompson, who did all he could, but the Rockies lost on the north side of Chicago. He went 3-for-4 with 2 runs, a double, 2 home runs, and 2 runs batted in. They were the first 2 home runs of his season, and the first one went 385 feet at 103 miles per hour, and the second one 406 feet at 100 miles per hour. A 2022 first-round pick, Thompson is Colorado's number 15 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, but they're not giving him a chance at consistent at-bats in the outfield. Thompson made the most of his limited opportunities on Wednesday with his first 2 career homers. Thompson has some potential if he's given the opportunity to achieve it. Last year at AAA, he batted 296 with 18 homers and 12 steals, and he was even better this year, batting 341 with 4 homers and 8 steals, while boasting some impressive plate discipline metrics, walking 18% of the time while striking out less than that. Thompson has some legit power potential as well, having exhibited a 113 mile per hour max exit velo in the minors while averaging a 76 mile per hour average bat speed during his brief taste of the majors thus far. And he's proven capable of swiping bags in the minor leagues as well. And we can sort of ignore Thompson while he's on the bench, but he's somebody that's worth attention in deep leagues if he ever gets a chance to start every day. But if you'd like more information if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Wednesday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over at pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Cal Bradish, who helped the Orioles to win in Seattle, tossing 7 2/3 innings, allowing 5 hits and 1 run, walking 2 while striking out 12. He induced 18 whiffs with 36% CSW across 100 pitches, and Bradish earned the golden goal on Wednesday as he tied for the gallows pole by tying for the lead in baseball with 18 whiffs, and he led baseball with 36% CSW to earn the King Cole. Bradish also set a career high with 12 strikeouts as everything went his way. A passive Mariners lineup left his four-seam fastball alone in the zone, allowing it to return 88% strikes against left-handed batters, and they let him steal 11 called strikes with sinkers as they racked up 5 called strikeouts. Bradish's secondaries weren't exceptionally commanded, combining for just 56% strikes, but they were super effective downstairs, combining for 15 whiffs and 7 strikeouts, all but one of which were swinging strikeouts. The ceiling for Bradish has been fleeting, but as long as he avoids damage with his poor heaters and induces whiffs with his breakers, he's going to have a good time. He hasn't done that every single start this year, and that's why we've had the struggles. That's why he has a whip of 1.51, but I still think Bradish is an auto start in Anaheim up next. Next, we've got Sandy Alcantara, who helped the Marlins to win in Philly, tossing six innings, allowing eight hits and two earned runs, walking one while fanning six. He induced 18 whiffs with 30% CSW across 102 pitches, and he tied with Bradish for the Gallows pole by tying for the MLB lead with 18 whiffs. Alcantara also leads MLB with 103 and a third innings pitched thus far. Sandy set a season high with 18 whiffs on Wednesday, driven by the return of his changeup feel, the continued ascension of his new cutter, and some exceptional sweepers. The slow ball had been missing for a month, but he's returned to inducing whiffs with the changeup in his last two starts, allowing his heaters to live in the zone. Cutters have been a big game changer for him, coming in at 90 miles per hour and overwhelming left-handed bats for 7 whiffs and 38% CSW. And the massive velocity difference of sweepers coming in at 85 miles per hour allowed him to get batters out in front for 6 whiffs and a whopping 47% CSW. Alcantara has looked amazing in June with a sub-3 ERA and even 1 whip and a 23% strikeout rate. And I'm willing to trust him, especially with his changeup feel returning, and it's all systems go versus the Rangers next. Lastly, we've got Nolan McLain, who helped the Mets to win in Cincinnati, tossing 7 shutout innings, allowing just 3 hits and 1 walk while striking out 9. He induced 10 whiffs with 31% CSW across 101 pitches. And McLain hasn't been right for weeks, pitching to a 6.38 ERA with a 14% walk rate across his previous 5 starts. But he seemed to lock back in yesterday, walking fewer than 2 batters for the first time in over a month. It was McLain's highest overall strike rate during that time, but the red flags we've been seeing are still present. This was a start where McLain filled up the zone with 4 seamers and sinkers and got away with it. He was lucky to go 13 for 16 on outs on balls in play. He was also lucky to fan 9 batters thanks to an unsustainable 64% put away rate despite just 10 whiffs, and he was lucky to walk just 1 batter with cutters and sweepers, combining for just 41% strikes. It all feels very shaky for how well he performed. However, McLain is still dope, and I think he's going to get back on track. He's been doing his best to survive without that sweeper with a 1.64 ERA across his last 4 starts, and that's sort of what aces do. They still produce even when not at their best, and McLain hasn't been at his best for a month, but I'm not giving up anytime soon. We start McLain versus the Cubs next and pray the sweeper feel finally returns. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Wednesday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Tristan Beck recorded his first save by getting the final 2 outs of the game. Caleb Killian was unavailable in that one as he recorded the final 2 outs with a 5-run lead in the Giants' suspended game, which was sort of the first half of their quasi-doubleheader. Josh Hader worked around a solo shot but struck out 3 to record his 4th save. Alex Vesia had a hitless night for his 3rd save. Tanner Scott was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days. Louis Varland struck out the side in order in a near-immaculate inning for his 14th save. And lastly, Jacob Webb worked around a solo shot for his 2nd save. He got the first chance with Daniel Palencia on the IL, so I think we're good to suggest that Jacob Webb is the temporary closer for the Cubs right now. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Alex Lang pitched a perfect ninth with a 4-run lead. He hadn't pitched since last Saturday, so this was somewhat of a maintenance outing for Alex Lang. And lastly, Ryan Helsley served up 2 solo shots, pitching the ninth up by 4. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Thursday, June 18th, a day which will just have just 9 games on the slate. My matchup of the day is Parker Messick versus Shane Drohan. Messick has not been at his best recently, but I'm looking for him to get back on track here. While Drohan has, you know, he's been a little bit maybe controversial is too much of a strong term there. I think he's somebody that a lot of people believe in, and a lot of people are doubting. I'm sort of mixed. I think there's potential for Drohan to get there. I think the Brewers are going to help him get there. I don't know if it happens in this start, and the stuff isn't super overwhelming. It really is going to be heavily reliant on his ability to command. However, he's facing the Guardians, so I feel pretty confident in Drohan doing well there. Let's check out some probable starters in our auto starts tier. We've got 2 guys, and that's Joe Ryan in Texas and Brian Wu versus the Orioles. Our probably starts tier has 4 guys, and our questionable starts tier has 9, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Sean Manaea in Philly. He's been pumping up his fastball north of 90 miles per hour, which isn't a huge achievement for most MLB pitchers, but Manaea has lived below 90 miles per hour throughout the season. So to see him sitting over 90 is huge. It worked really well last time in concert with his sweeper. So Manaea, it could have some success in Philly. I'd also keep an eye out for the aforementioned Shane Drohan versus the Guardians. Like I said, they're without Jose Ramirez, so I think he should be fine there versus the Guardians. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'd look at Mets and Phillies hitters in Citizens Bank Park, as we'll see Sean Manaea square off against Aaron Nola. This isn't really because of the pitching matchup. Nola has been not great this year. This is more about familiarity from the batters. All the Mets and Phillies hitters have seen Manaea and Nola multiple times, so they should have some success here. I'd also target Angels and A's hitters in Sutter Health Park, as we'll see Jose Soriano square off against Gage Jump. This is mostly about the hitter-friendly nature of Sutter Health Park. Now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. We have just one. Louis Varland has pitched on back-to-back days, but so have both Tyler Rogers and Jeff Hoffman. So if the Blue Jays don't want to turn to any of those three for 3 days in a row, I think we could see Braden Fisher vulture a save opportunity for the Blue Jays on Thursday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Carson Picard will be with you tomorrow and throughout the weekend. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.